Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this. I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter. That's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered. Could just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Ridiculous History is a production of iHeartRadio.
Welcome back to the show, Ridiculous Historians. Thank you, as always, so much for tuning in. That's our man, the myth, the legend, our super producer, Mr. Max Williams.
Cereal sucks!
Whoa.
Yeah, he's a regular serial killer. I'm Ben Bullen. That's Mr. Noel Brown.
Yeah.
Noel, off air, we talked real quick, and we were just checking in, and I asked you and Max whether you guys had eaten any cereal today.
Yeah, I haven't. It's not a go-to for me. I like it. Mm-hmm. You know, I like the nostalgia factor, I think, first and foremost. Like, things like Honey Nut Cheerios and Fruit Loops and all of that good stuff. But it's not, like, a thing that I keep around, you know, regularly in the pantry.
Now, Ridiculous Historians listening along with your kids or Ridiculous Historians who are teachers playing this episode, please know I'm about to say something that's 100% real. Back when I was a stoner, I loved Reese's Puff cereal. I did not eat it with milk. I just made bad decisions and then would absolutely house a box of this. Folks, when we're talking cereal, though, we're not talking the scientific definition, which is any grass that is cultivated for edible components. Right.
Yeah.
Technically,
that's like that's a food cereal. Group, right? That's one of the little bits on the food pyramid.
Right. We're talking we're not talking just straight grains. We're talking about the weird thing known as breakfast cereal. Right. You walk through a grocery store in many parts of the world and you will see aisles devoted to these things called cereals, which are almost exclusively marketed as a breakfast dish, right? What are some cereal? Noel, you and I always give our ride or die, Mr. Matt Frederick from Stuff They Don't Want You to Know, we always give him a hard time. We roast him a little because that guy, as brilliant and lovable as he is, he loves Raisin Bran. Which is so like two of the worst things together.
Dude, so does my girlfriend. And I give her a hard
time.
Days
eating Raisin Bran?
Yeah, Days of Raisin Bran. She likes those extra scoops, you know, those extra raisins. Yeah, however many. And she says that raisins are nature's candy. I say, raisins are nature's rat turds, yeah, which are already nature's rat turds.
We've been going a little hard on the raisins. Earlier, I called them grapes that didn't make it,
yeah,
which is true, but you could say the same of wine that's made of grapes that didn't make it. But look, chances are, folks, and shout out to our research associate for this, Mr. Max Williams. Yeah, do the sound cue. Chances are you have walked through a supermarket or grocery store aisle, or you might even stop by a convenience store and you'll see some sort of packaged breakfast cereal. For a long time, this has been marketed to humans as something that has a lot of convenience and a lot of nutrition. The weird term used for this is part of a balanced breakfast.
Right.
Shout out to Edward Bernays.
Oh, no doubt. And in terms of the marketing, I mean, obviously a huge swath of this stuff is marketed directly at kids.
Oh, yeah.
Or maybe adults for nostalgic purposes.
Like you'll notice stoners.
Also fair. But you'll notice like around Halloween, they'll do like the Yummy Mummies and Count Chocula's of the world and make a big to-do about that. I think that is a nostalgia play because those cereals we associate with cartoon television commercials from when we were a kid. And then you've got all these other legacy brands like, you know, what is it? The Sugar Bear, you know, who seems more like a heroin addict than a stoner to me.
Also aspirational. You got Wheaties with athletes.
Yeah.
On the cover. Oh.
Got to eat your Wheaties. Or what does he say? Be like Mike or whatever, you know, definitely aspirational in the same way that pump up shoes were supposedly going to make your game improve, which is obviously not true. You know, what's his name? Ice-T, the rapper and television star. He's really a big fan of Cheerios and he is a spokesperson for Cheerios, but apparently he actually really digs the stuff. And
Cheerios
like
are decent. Cheerios are a decent snack, just like a granola bar, right? Not to be abused. Max, you got some feelings. Come in here.
I mean, Cheerios are like the best of cereals, which makes it come out to like a C-minus rating. No, there's actually are some good cereals. I agree with you with the Reese's Cocoa Puffs.
Remember the ones that were it was basically the same recipe, but shaped like little basketballs? That was a sports tie-in that had nothing to do with improving your game or your diet because those things are made of actual garbage, at least in terms of the sugar content and preservatives and all of that kind of stuff. We're going to get into that, though.
And here we are, a world in which you will find weirdly specific marketing for a weirdly specific meal of the day. How did we get here? How did a specific type or genre of food become associated with health consciousness? How did it become associated with breakfast? It turns out this all began at an amazing moment of intersections between a great many variables. Now, you've heard of Kellogg, and we trust that if you are a fellow ridiculous historian, you know a lot of the stories of, you know, related to Kellogg about how he just hated people having any sort of sensual joy. But our real hero in this story, or protagonist perhaps, is
or
a guy.
Antagonist.
Okay, antagonist.
Big bad.
Big bad. A person of interest, a character of note, is a guy named Dr. James Caleb Jackson. And this guy plays a huge role in the recent invention of what we call cereal today. Happens 1863. Noel, Dr. Jackson is not a super bad person. He's a abolitionist.
Yeah. Yeah. He's an abolitionist. He's also a big a proponent of drinking lots of water and staying hydrated, all that. I think we can all agree that's probably a smart move and not too difficult to do of all the health-related things that we can do in our day-to-day. He was the founder of a well-known facility called the Jackson Sanitarium in New York. I don't know the history of that specific facility, although I do know the troubled history of sanitariums in this country in general. So I wouldn't be surprised if some bad stuff went down there. Probably not directly caused by Mr. Jackson, but we know that, you know, sometimes it's a slippery slope. But again, I don't know about this one in particular, but wouldn't be surprised.
Well, he is the guy who decided that water was the most cleansing material that could enter a human body. And as a result, he mixed water with gram flour and he baked it. And then he said, I have the first ready-to-eat cereal. Let's give some kind of whatever you feel is appropriate, Max, sound design-wise. He said, I shall call this first ready-to-eat cereal Granula. Granula. It sounds a little sinister. I don't know why, but Granula sounds like, I don't know. It sounds like a think piece. It sounds like it's a Francis Ford Coppola or Werner Herzog film.
Sounds like the building blocks of all reality, you know, like some kind of like, you know, atomic particle, granula, you know, but like something that maybe like the Greeks or some philosopher would have referred to that as. By the way, I was pronouncing the word wrong. It is sanatorium. And this place was created much more as a health spa and resort. Mm. So using that word, maybe sanatorium and sanitarium are two different things. I think mm-hmm. they very much are. Just no, I retract my shade against the Jackson Sanatorium for potentially housing abuses of individuals with mental illness.
I mean, I gotta actually issue an attraction also. I called this guy an antagonist, but he was an abolitionist, so it that feels harsh for me. So I'm gonna say, sorry, Dr. Jackson, I am for real. And then I'm going to stop right there.
Oh, okay. I love it. No, Max, you did that reference in a way that will not allow us to be sued. Go us.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. This episode of Ridiculous History is brought to you by Mint Mobile.
You know, Ben, I got to say, one of the best parts about spring cleaning is that post-clean clarity you get where you're like, man, how have I been living like this? What's wrong with me?
You're right, Noel. It's kind of like when you find out you've been paying a fortune for wireless when Mint Mobile has phone plans for $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan.
It's time to switch to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month.
To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/ridiculous.
That's mintmobile.com/ridiculous. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/ridiculous.
$45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only.
Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply.
See Mint Mobile for details. This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Noel, do you remember your favorite car?
Well, yeah. It was an Eddie Bauer edition Ford Explorer.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
I just remember it was my dad's. I was a hand-me-down car kind of kid. Dad would buy a new car. I'd get that car. And I just remember feeling so awesome being up above everybody, like I was in Mad Max or something.
I had a lot of land yachts that I loved. I had Pontiac Bonnevilles.
Right?
Oh, I never had an El Camino. My dad had one, and that was a real interesting use of our collective time, keeping that thing running. But I think these cars all kind of speak to us because they were such a fundamental part of our lives. Do you remember when I had that Monte Carlo?
That's what I meant. I said El Camino, and I meant Monte Carlo.
I miss it. So the Monte Carlo was tough. I had a series of Monte Carlos, and the last one, God bless it, I had to learn a lot about car maintenance just to keep that guy running.
Totally. But
it still was like a perfect fit. It's almost like finding your true love. You know, like when you recently got a car a few years back now.
Oh, man. And funny you should say that. That particular perfect fit was the Honda Fit, which I love dearly. But, Ben, it's getting a little long in the tooth. And while it's been incredibly reliable up to now, it's getting to that age where I might have to start looking for some parts here and there to keep it running.
Mm-hmm. And that's where eBay Motors comes in. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly.
Brake kits, LED headlights, roof racks, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it.
And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back.
Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash.
So keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com.
Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This granula was not meant to be tasty. It was not Captain Crunch. It was not Choco Puffs or whatever.
Yummy Mummy.
Or Yummy Mummy. Thank you. Good
Frankenberry.
Point. Sorry. Yeah, Frankenberry. No, perfect. You're nailing it. There's a pantheon there. And I appreciate
yes,
you.
Exactly.
This stuff, granula, was not convenient. You had to soak it overnight just to be able to eat it that next morning. And you had to soak it in milk. And this spoke to some part of the public in the United States. And they created, Dr. Jackson created Our Home Granula Company. People loved it. If you want to learn more about companies that were founded on weird sectarian or cult-like ideas, do check out Stuff They Don't Want You to Know, Companies Started by Cults. Mm-hmm. For now, what you need to know is that in 1866, someone who was a big fan of Dr. J, a person named Ellen White, who would go on to help found, actually be the primary founder of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, started something in Battle Creek, Michigan, called the Western Health Reform Institute.
Mm-hmm. And I swear this is my last backtrack. Turns out sanitarium and sanatorium, the same thing. They are just an antiquated term initially used to refer to specialized medical clinics of any kind. Mm-hmm. And then mainly associated with the negative version of that. We don't call them that anymore. We call them psychiatric facility.
What a time.
Anyway, just making
what
sure
a time.
They are the same thing, but it's like referred to variably as sanitarium and sanatorium in all the material that we found and online. A lot of people have this confusion. So hope that cleared it up for anybody. But
that's awesome.
You could consider at the time this facility to also be one of those, you know?
100%.
The Western Health Reform Institute in Battle Creek, Michigan, founded this with her husband named James. Wasn't particularly well received in the early years. Not a lot of people, you know, took to this idea. Obviously,
for like two decades.
100%. Yeah. This is something that you would, you know, you'd sign up for and pay money for, you know. But in 1866, Ellen decided to take a chance on a young upstart by the name of John Harvey Kellogg. Yes, that's the one. She hired him to help actually provide some marketing assistance to hopefully get the word out and create sort of an image that maybe she hadn't quite hit on yet. And this also allowed Kellogg to study at New York's Bellevue Hospital, where he started to think about ways to make like ready-to-eat cereal, not the overnight soaking variety, available to the general public. And it's funny too, I just want to add, like, overnight oats and things like that's actually become like a trendy thing now.
Yeah.
Where you go to fancy like brunch places and they'll have like overnight oats. So what is old is now new again.
So what you're saying is all cereal is cyclical?
I think so. It's certainly possible.
The cereal cycle? Jeez. Okay. Oh my gosh. I have a list of puns for this episode and I have not shared them. Hopefully if we're doing a great job, We won't have to hear any of them because I'm going to be honest with you, Noel, Max, fellow ridiculous historians, these are all terrible puns. They're like 0 out of 10. Anyway, you nailed it. This guy, Kellogg, he goes back to Battle Creek and he sees that the institute that Ellen and her husband James have started is really struggling. You know, they're having a tough time becoming sustainable. They don't know whether they will be able to continue the institute in the future. So he renames it, to your excellent earlier point, Noel, Battle Creek Sanitarium. And he says the following. He says, look, you got to eat vegetables, right? Eating the flesh of dead animals might be bad for you. You got to eat the way that our ancestors, other primates, monkeys, eat. Simple food, fruits, veg, not too much of it. Stop overeating. This guy, this Kellogg guy would hate an all-you-can-eat buffet. And right. Honestly, all-you-can-eat buffets, I speak from unfortunate experience, should come with a warning. They should be all-you-should-eat buffets. But that's a tough crossroads for anyone who sees a bunch of crab legs and some potato salad and a potato and some green beans, whatever.
Well, the all-you-can-eat buffet model does put a lot of impetus on the individual to exercise some self-control. Some people, though, are not as capable as others maybe of doing that.
I am not, yeah.
So, no. You know, we do live in a country where you're not going to turn someone down just because maybe they look like they shouldn't have another plate of spaghetti.
Hey, you know? Spaghetti's all right, though. Oh my gosh, I have a horse in the race.
I like spaghetti. All you can eat spaghetti buffet. That'd be fun. Remember Fazoli's? That was Fazoli's. It was like a pasta buffet, kind of a build-your-own pasta thing. But yeah, vegetarianism, whole foods, right? What we would think of today is kind of the more holistic health approach. It hasn't changed a whole heck of a lot.
And Kellogg gets pretty popular with this.
Well, because of things like influencers, the same way we see certain trend diets or whatever you call them, fad diets kind of hit today because of, you know, celebrities that take them on and either they're getting paid by them or they really just truly believe in it. But we're talking about the celebrities or influencers of the day. Amelia Earhart, before she disappeared mysteriously. Thomas Edison, big deal, that guy.
Before he ripped off. Or while he was ripping off numerous unacknowledged inventors.
100%. Yeah, that's sort of the name of the game when it comes to inventors in those days. Like, rip off, but rip off well. And, of course, President Taft, who was, I think he was relatively beloved. It was in the era, yeah.
He famously struggled with fitness, is a diplomatic way to put it.
Like he got caught in the bathtub?
Hey, come on. Different episode, Max. But
hey, we all know I love Taft. I come out and defend Taft a lot.
I know. If you had a tattoo, it would be him. But the in the late 1870s or early 1880s, Kellogg starts making his own version of Ellen White's formula, which again is descended from Dr. Jackson, right? And he said, yeah, if you're nasty. And he says, we'll put this wheat flour together with oatmeal and we'll put it together with cornmeal and we'll make a very carb heavy paste or agglomeration of that.
Yeah, you make it sound so delightful. Carb heavy paste. That sounds amazing.
Welcome to cereal. Have you encountered a carbohydrate deficit in your life? Consider the following granula. Yeah. Well, Jackson, Dr. J, sues Kellogg because he says, Kellogg, you're taking my shine. You're taking this idea that I had and you're making it look like it was your own. And so Kellogg pops back and says, hey, no beef. Let's not get beefed up. I'm a vegetarian. I'm going to rename this granola of granula. Very vanilla ice.
It is, but I have to say, can we all agree that granola sounds way more appealing than granula?
It's got a much better mouthfeel to it.
Yeah, you were waiting for that one.
Well, you know, Ola just, it sounds fun, like Crayola, you know, or like Oshkosh Bagosh. Not the same thing, but it has the smack of branding to it. Whereas Granula sounds really clinical. And like you said, like some sort of weird, you know, supplement
sounds like the building blocks of a spacefaring civilization in a Wojnowski film.
There 100%. It is. Well, this is the thing as well. We're also very clearly basing our emotional reactions on the times in which we are alive. Granola had one huge advantage. It wasn't, beat me here, it wasn't fucking hardtack. You guys know about hardtack?
Mm-hmm.
Hardtack is terrible.
I mean, hardtack is sort of a category, right? I mean, isn't it just sort of like gruel, basically?
No, it's way worse.
Oh, it's something specific? Okay.
Yeah. Hardtack is a, okay. Let's be honest. Hardtack is technically like a biscuit or a cracker, right. But it doesn't go bad. It's just so concentrated and so derived of water, so dehydrated that you can injure your mouth and jaw attempting to eat it without dipping it in something or somehow diluting it. That's why granula or whatever had to be soaked in milk overnight. Granola is a commercial success because Kellogg figured out some cool stuff. So he gets with his brother, William Kellogg, and he creates really what we would call the origins of breakfast cereal today, and people love it. People love it so much so that, of course, other people enter the fray. What did you say earlier, Noel? It was 1886 by 1895, I think. There's a new challenger on the board.
Yeah, because I mean, at the end of the day, we're talking about sort of reconstituted grain material. So that's why the lawsuit was only about the name, the branding. You can't really copyright or trademark the idea of, you know, putting wet stuff into dry stuff and making it somewhat edible. So, you know, the CW Post came along, who was actually a former patient at the Battle Creek Sanitarium, and was impressed with Kellogg's methods, you know, and his experiments with grain. So he kind of did what Kellogg did with the previous inventor or the granula, and kind of started his own thing, his own company. His creation was called Postum, and it was like a beverage.
No, you know, spell it out so everybody knows.
Postum, P-O-S-T-U-M.
That sounds like a medical excretion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all of these. Yeah, I mean, granola is really the one that stuck around. Obviously, Postum was a play on his last name, and then ultimately they dropped the because I don't know anything about this product, and created the Post cereal company, which is also huge and easy to confuse which cartoon mascots go with which, you know, brand. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised if the same parent company owns both of them at this point. It's hard to say. But this guy, Tony Sherman, who is the general manager of Post Foods, said he described it as a cereal beverage intended to replace coffee in the morning, which I don't understand because people drink coffee because of the caffeine. So this was a caffeine-free coffee substitute, which, again, speaking of useless things, you know, like nipples on a breastplate or whatever, as the Game of Thrones folks would say, caffeine-free coffee is, I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't get it. But, you know, all the best to these folks. He says, don't let your kids share your coffee. What you should do is give them this stuff. We call it Postum. It's a child-friendly beverage, essentially. And around the same year, the brothers Kellogg start experimenting with flakes of grain. You can see examples of this in packages of things like Granose Flakes, G-R-A-N-O-S-E, Granose Flakes, which would be one of the first on-the-shelf breakfast cereals. And all it said was, enrich the blood, which sounds very much like a vampire made that and wants to drink the blood of children. You could get the vibe from the Kellogg's primary motivation, which is the world should eat less meat and eat more grains. And technically, that is true. Check out The Omnivore's Dilemma by Michael Pollan. This message is a very big deal in the early days of cereal because the cereal brands are trying to convince people to walk away from the typical agrarian breakfast, which is, you know, eggs, meat of some sort, a lot of bread. They're saying, hey, you know, stay nutritious, but also this is, you know, very Steve Brule for your health.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Noel, do you remember your favorite car?
Well, yeah, it was an Eddie Bauer edition Ford Explorer.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
I just remember it was my dad's. I was a hand-me-down car kind of kid. Dad would buy a new car. I'd get that car. And I just remember feeling so awesome being up above everybody, like I was in Mad Max or something, you know?
I had a lot of land yachts that I loved. I had Pontiac Bonnevilles.
Right.
Oh, I never had an El Camino. My dad had one. And that was a real interesting use of our collective time, keeping that thing running. But I think these cars all kind of speak to us because they were such a fundamental part of our lives. Do you remember when I had that Monte Carlo?
That's what I meant. I said El Camino and I meant Monte Carlo.
I miss it. So the Monte Carlo was tough. I had a series of Monte Carlos, and the last one, God bless it, I had to learn a lot about car maintenance just to keep that guy running.
Totally.
But it still was like a perfect fit. It's almost like finding your true love. You know, like when you recently got a car a few years back now.
Oh, man. And funny you should say that. That particular perfect fit was the Honda Fit, which I love dearly. But, Ben, it's getting a little long in the tooth. And while it's been incredibly reliable up to now, it's getting to that age where I might have to start looking for some parts here and there to keep it running.
Mm-hmm. And that's where eBay Motors comes in. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly.
Brake kits, LED headlights, roof racks, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it.
And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back.
Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash.
So keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com.
Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hey, Noel, have you ever wanted to wake up to something better?
Oh, boy, have I ever, Ben.
Well, this is where Avalon Waterways comes in. How does waking up to a medieval castle, an ancient cathedral, a rolling vineyard, or a charming cobblestone village sound to you?
Well, here on Ridiculous History, that's right up our street, Ben, our charming cobblestone street. So I can say it sounds pretty good to me.
You're absolutely right, Noel. Avalon Waterways has redefined cruising in so many different ways. They've got the widest opening windows. They've got beds that face the passing scenery. So wherever you go, you have a front row seat to the views of the world. And not only do you wake up in the best staterooms in the entirety of the business, but you're waking up in a new port every day, right in the heart of these amazing historic cities.
Ah, Ben, sign me up. Open your eyes to a better view and a different kind of cruising. One with smaller ships, bigger experiences, fewer people, and more of everything.
Limited time special offers await at avalonwaterways.com.
And whether they realized it or not, this was another one of those kind of like the food of the future, you know, like the microwave. And what was the other one we did recently? Like, oven pre-frozen meals that you could put in the. It was seen as this like convenient one-stop shop to get all those same nutrients. So it was kind of marketed in that way to a degree. Post actually beat Kellogg to the market.
Oh, my God. We're going to talk about it.
Our favorite cereal.
It makes no sense.
Yeah. Grape Nuts, which contains, much like an egg cream, neither grape nor nuts, Egg cream contains neither egg nor cream. And it's like rabbit food, like little pellets that you'd buy in a giant sack, you know, from a pet store.
It'll keep you sober, though. That was their pitch.
And regular, apparently. Yeah.
Yeah, you can just poop all the time and never drink booze.
Yeah, you start to poop just like dark matter, you know, at this point, just like the density. It's like, yeah. Anyway, there's a reason we don't eat like rabbits, you know, or apes. I'm not saying this isn't fine for some people. Maybe a steady diet of grape nut and cream of wheat, you know, is great for some people. But
you don't eat grape nuts. Like, you're not eating grapes. You're not eating nuts. You're also not pooping grapes, nor are you pooping nuts. This whole thing, stem to stern, it's a grift. It's like
a grift that's still around to this day in those grocery store aisles that you were talking about, Ben. Granted, it's a very small box. And like, isn't your dad really into grape nuts, Max?
My dad eats grape nuts every single morning. When like the pandemic was first starting up and it was really hard to get stuff, they were out of grape nuts. And it was like, he was like considering paying $60 for a box of grape nuts off of Amazon.
That's because it's like him and like 50 other old men that they're the only ones that eat it.
They should start a cabal, bro.
Yeah. Also, control the supply.
Max, you should give this quote from Karen Gendel here. Karen Gendel, who was manager of Grape Nuts.
Yes. They said Grape Nuts was people eating advertising.
Which,
yeah.
And they ate it up. They ate it up and had did. Seconds.
They ate you a know, lot of
same
advertising.
Way bacon. I mean, it is a very similar story where you're taking something kind of unappealing on its surface and selling it. I mean, granted, I like bacon way better than grape nuts. It's a much tastier grift, but a grift just the same.
I like the idea. Let's reopen Ridiculous History Cinema and let's just play around with the idea of a title called A Tasty Grift. That's pretty cool. Okay, so back into the time of cereal's ascendance, 1906. The Kellogg bros, Will Kellogg specifically, they took the rights from things like Corn Flake and the Kellogg Dame. Will took it from his brother, and they beefed up about ingredients primarily because Will said, we need to add sugar to this original recipe. This is where they start exploiting children and parents. The first boxes of Kellogg's Corn Flakes were just flakes. And then they started focusing on sugar. And they started saying they're delicious. They're distinctive in flavor. Children, go tell your parents that other parents will call you poor if you don't buy me sugar in the morning in flake form. And they didn't talk about health benefits. And they didn't have to, because at this point, people were brainwashed.
So is this Kellogg getting greedy and totally abandoning his, you know, holistic lifestyle approach? Or is this like, at this point, is the company passed out of his hands or something? Because it seems very counter to all of his, you know, healthy, feel-goodery kind of attitude.
John Harvey Kellogg is the healthy, feel-goodery kind of guy in the conversation. His brother, Will Kellogg, is the guy who runs this stuff now.
Yeah. I would just think that would cause some strife between the brothers, maybe. It's like, you've taken my vision and you've bastardized it. Now you're trying to kill children with it. But also, did they know as much about sugar then and how bad it was for you that we know today? I don't think so. It was more of a luxury. Yeah.
Not at that point. They just knew it was a way to sell boxes.
That's right. Yeah, boxes of weird grain.
You guilt the parents through the children. You sell the stuff. Kellogg, Will Kellogg, also put a lot of effort into making sure that people were buying genuine Kellogg's, right? Because there were a lot of other people coming in the mix, you know? There's like the Max and Alex Williams, totally legit breakfast flakes or something like that. Yeah, what I like about that name is how short and witty it is. There's also this idea that people are buying based on celebrity. as we see in a great work by Jaya Zasina on SeriousEats.com. American consumers were buying cereal because they were intrigued. They wanted to be part of the Kellogg story. So Kellogg is trying to say, look, we have to redefine what constitutes an American breakfast. Something hearty, eggs, some sort of protein from an animal, some sort of carbohydrate, etc. How do we make milk and our proprietary grains look like they are on the level or superior to that? We can get stuff on the shelves, but how do we make people feel like they need it?
Oh, man, I just got to insert a little interesting bit of trivia. William Keith Kellogg's signature is the Kellogg logo, sort of like Walt Disney Company is Walt Disney's signature. I just thought that was some clever, you know, typography. But if you look, you can see his signature. And the Kellogg School of Management in Evanston, Illinois, was founded, or at least through a $10 million gift that he made. I think it was named after him. It was called something else for that. But that is still a very prestigious business school to this day.
Yeah, yeah. And that's back when $10 million really counted for something.
That's right.
So a lot of the package ideas or designs, and I'm so glad you talk about the logo and the signature here. A lot of these designs, the things you would see when you're walking in your grocery store, they focused on how awesome it was to have a bowl of cereal. You don't need all this other junk in the morning. All you got to do is eat this bowl as part of a balanced breakfast, which comes later. Anyway, fast forward 1922. There's a thing called Washburn's Whole Wheat Flakes. Let me do that again with a different voice. Washburn's Whole Wheat Flakes, because it sounds so Monty Burns, doesn't it? Like,
yeah, that it sounds like a made up boring cereal.
Smithers, fetch me the Washburn's Whole Wheat Flakes.
Yeah, and also with the word wash in there, just that I immediately think of like dishwasher detergent, you know, or like the kind of soap flakes you used back in like the 50s or whatever to wash your clothes in. Yeah, man, this is, you know, Washburn's Whole Wheat Flakes did pretty well, right?
Yeah, yeah. You may recognize it today as Wheaties. Or I think we're just supposed to say Wheaties.
Yeah, gotta eat your Wheaties or eat your Wheaties, whatever. Any number of sports icon figures have been associated with that brand. With, I don't know. I mean, do you think that they look at like the stats before they agree to sign on? Nah, they just know Michael Jordan did it and they're like, cool, we're going to be associated with this brand because it's all about kind of legacy brand associations. And if you want to be like Mike, then you also promote the same cereal that Mike did. But, you know, I mean, the fact of the matter is, whether you agree with this notion of eating cereal for breakfast being better or worse than, you know, eggs and bacon or whatever it might be, potatoes, it is still just a giant carb load, you know, that does have vitamins and minerals and things, I guess, inserted into them.
I'm so glad you said that because Washburn's Whole Wheat Flakes were, or Wheaties, were marketed as a perfect food, semicolon, ready to eat. And then Post, who was like the Pepsi in this conversation, Post Toasties called themselves a 4-star breakfast treat. Get this, Noel. Combining flavor, nourishment, vitamins, and economy in a single box.
Oh, sweet, sweet economy.
Ooh, if I could but taste it.
Yes, well, now you can. and again, we know at this point, these are all pretty samey, right? The types of cereals that are hitting the market and that are doing well. So we really start to get into this diversification of cereals and this marketing towards kids with the advent of mascots, these cartoon mascots, some of which have changed very fascinatingly over time. Like I think it's Lucky Charms didn't used to be repped by a leprechaun. It used to be a wizard. And, you know, certain of these mascots that have been around forever have had like various changes over the years. So that's an interesting thing to track if you ever want to go down a bit of an internet rabbit hole.
That's right, folks. This is a two-part episode because thanks to Noel and Max, we are going to need two episodes to talk about this cereal. We've spent a lot of time off air. I don't know how much is going to make it into the edit talking about breakfast cereal. So we're going to call this a two-parter. We're going to pause for now, but I got to say thank you to anyone who is eating cereal as you hear this. And before we end part one, Noel, I have to ask you, cereal with milk, cereal without milk, where?
Oh, yeah, I'll tell you. Here's a life hack for you. Cereal with chocolate milk.
Ooh.
We'll talk more about that. Our other cereal preferences, cereal mascots, the proliferation of health issues with children, and all of the various pitfalls of marketing without proper science and research. In the second part of our cereal. Mm-hmm. The second one was with an S.
We're literally serial podcasters right now, folks. Thank you for joining us on the journey. Thanks, as always, to our super producer, research associate, Mr. Max Williams. Thanks to his brother, Alex Williams, composed this banging track. Thanks to Christopher Hasiotis, Eves Jeffcoat. And by the way, we usually roast the hell out of our pal, Jonathan Strickland, a.k.a. the Quister, but there was a big storm that came through the fair metropolis of Atlanta. He was unable to make it today because he's working on some stuff with his house. And as we always, you know, we give the guy a hard time, rightly so, because he's a real jerk to us on air. But we do have his back and we do wish him well. So thank you to you, Jonathan, if you hear this.
Yeah, thank you to you, Jonathan. Thank you to you, Super Producer Max, for putting together such an amazing bundle of research on this topic. So much, it was an embarrassment of riches that we did have to make it a two-parter. And of course, thanks to you, Ben.
Captain Crunch also ties into phone freaking hacking.
Yeah, and it cuts the roof of your mouth, too. We'll see you next time, folks.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
This episode of Ridiculous History is brought to you by Avalon Waterways. Ben, are you in major need of a vacation right now?
Noel, you're a mind reader. I am, and aren't we all?
We are. While cruising remains popular, there's something big happening in the industry, and that is, my friend, smaller ships.
True story. The intimate ships of Avalon Waterways can go where the big ships can only dream, through winding passageways of rolling vineyards and castled hills, into the heart of timeless cities and storybook villages.
That sounds like a delight. See how Avalon's smaller ships promise greater discoveries, fewer people, and more of everything.
Limited time special offers await at avalonwaterways.com.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.